Father, we come before you this morning hour once again. We stand in awe of you. Father, we recognize that we are incapable of describing how great thou art. Father, I pray that you be with us as we continue to look at your greatness and who you are this morning. Father, I pray you just anoint my lips as I open up your word and the thoughts that you laid on my heart this morning, Father. Father, I pray you pour your Holy Spirit upon us and just guide and direct us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel that the opening went very, very well with what I plan to share this morning. In fact, there's one passage of scripture that I believe I have in my notes, actually. It is a little different of a direction, but it's still very much the same, at least part of it. You had to bear with me this morning. I've been fighting a head cold the last couple of weeks and still am a little bit, so I might have a little bit of stuff going on that's not nice when you preach. Brother Jacob, in fact, we have been taking care of a little girl for the last 2 months, so I haven't had as much time as you might think I've had to prepare. But anyway, the title of the message this morning is Reasons to Give God Your Whys. Reasons to Give God Your Whys. This morning I feel led to take a look at who God is. When we understand who he is, it becomes a lot easier to give him the whys in life. The backdrop to this message is I was asked to write a study guide for the book, Why God, Why? What I feel led to share on this morning comes from gleanings from the book and the study guide. I want to start out by asking a couple of questions. And then I want to take a close look at who God is, and then share several reasons why we can give God our whys. I also plan on talking briefly about some distorted views of God. To begin with, I want to ask you a question. Does your view of God change who God really is? Does your view of God change who God really is? The next question I want us to ponder is, can your view of God affect your relationship with him? Can your view of God affect your relationship with him? I believe all of us would know the answer to both of those questions. No, your view of God does not change who he really is. And yes, your view of God affects your relationship with him very much. So, who is God? I would love to open it up for discussion, but I have several pages of notes. Maybe I don't have children this morning, so I don't care about the time. But anyway, who is God? I'm not going to open it up for an answer. I'm going to start out by giving you an answer, but in this answer, there's a lot of big words, and then I want to look at these words and what they mean. And then I want to rewrite the definition as it were. God, the supreme being who is infinite, sovereign, immutable, and all-wise. All of his acts are done in perfect wisdom. God, the supreme being who is infinite, sovereign, immutable, and all-wise. Now, what do those words mean? Supreme and sovereign are very closely related. Supreme means holding the highest place in authority, power, and government. Holding the highest place in authority, power, and government. Supreme. Deuteronomy 10:17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. 1 Timothy 6, 14-16, that thou wilt keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable under the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The word sovereign means superior to all others and chief. 1 Corinthians 29:11 through 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. What an awesome verse that is, or verses. Isaiah 46, 9-11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. So God is sovereign, he's superior to all others, and he's a chief. And you might be thinking to yourself, how does figuring out who God is affect, why is that a reason to give him all your whys in life? But it's very connected. God is infinite. What does infinite mean? It means without limit, boundless, without beginning or ending. Isaiah 43, 10-13. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Romans 11, 33-34. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? God is immutable. That means unalterable and not capable of changing. Aren't you glad God cannot change? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? James 1:17, every good and gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So God is unchangeable and unalterable. God is omniscient. all-knowing is what that word means. God is all-knowing. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Romans 11:33-36, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And a voice out of Isaiah 40:13-14, who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge to show, and showed to him the way of understanding? Can you tell God anything that he doesn't know? God is all-knowing. God is omnipotent or all-powerful. Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Mark 10:27, and Jesus looked upon them, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. God is all-powerful. God is omnipresent, everywhere, or right near, or close to each one in the world. God is right here. That's what that word means. Jeremiah 23:23-24, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? God is like, I'm right there. Don't you understand? I'm right there. And for us as Christians, that should bring us great joy and confidence and gladness in our hearts. That's a reason to give God your whys. God is right there. He saw it all anyhow, and he sees it all right now. Now that we learn the meanings of the words that define who God is, let us rewrite our definition of God. God, the one who always has and always will have the highest of place in authority and power. For he knows everything, is everywhere, and is unchanging. God, the one who always has and always will have the highest place in authority and power, for he knows everything, is everywhere, and is unchanging. And this part makes me think of the passage of the song, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, are veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. Next, I want to take a look at a person in the Old Testament who found out more about who God is. and who had deep questions, deep whys in his heart, I'm sure, to God. I want to take a look at that Job learns about God. I have a couple of questions. Did Job know anything about the conversations in between God and Satan concerning him? I very seriously doubt it. There is no indication in Scripture that he did. Did Job have any idea how his life was going to end up? No. As Job went through those difficult times, he had no idea how his life was going to end up. We see the story of Job and we know how it ended up. And we know why it happened. Job had no idea. What was Job's response to losing his crops, animals, servants, and children? I don't have time to read the passage, but we know the story. Can you imagine one day you're sitting here and you're looking over, oh, here comes somebody running. Everyone's dead, and all your cattle just died. I'm left alone to come. Oh, the house just blew over, and all your children are died, and much more in between. Lost every single thing except for like three or four servants, it seems like, from what we're taught. But what did Job do? It seemed right at first that he had a proper perspective of God. Job 1:20-22 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Can you imagine what is our response? What was his initial response to the painful boils that he experienced? Job 2:7-10. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a posture to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. So initially we see that he had a good attitude about the circumstances that God was allowing him to go through. However, later on when his friends are there with him and mocking him and trying to speak to his heart, in Job 10, we see that Job ended up wishing he would never have been born and that he could just die. He ended up asking God many questions that were not right for him to ask. Some of those are found in Job chapter 13. Then in Job chapter 23:8-14, we read that Job was in deep anguish of soul. In one hand, he was very confused. He sought after God and for answers from him as to why he was going through the things he was facing. But it seemed to him that God was not answering him. At the same time, Job understood the sovereignty of God. In Job 23:13-14, he states, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. So in the deep anguish of his soul, in his searching for the answers to why, Job recognized that God was performing the things that were appointed for him. After a while, I said that Job asked God many questions that he should not have asked God. After a while, God answered Job with many hard questions. Finally, God said, okay, Job, you're not going in the right direction. He asked questions like this. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? Hath the rain a father? or who has begotten the drops of the dew? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? And many more hard questions. Job chapter 40, verse 1 or 2 says, Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Are we contending with the Almighty this morning? We see that Job ended up answering the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no farther. Job realized that God is so great that it is safe to trust him. He did not need answers. He just needed God. In acceptance lieth peace. O my heart, be still. Let thy restless worries cease. And accept his will, though this test be not thy choice. It is his, therefore rejoice. In his plan there cannot be aught to make thee sad. If this is his choice for thee, take it and be glad. Make from it some lovely thing to the glory of thy king. Cease from sighs and murmurings. Sing his loving grace. This thing means thy fathering to a wealthy place. From thy fears he'll give release. In acceptance lieth peace. What is the reason to give God your why? God knows our needs. Questions. Should God give us what we want or what he knows we need? Do you know better than God what you really need? A lot of people calculate their needs in dollars and cents. Why is this wrong? A lot of people ask God for their wants, not needs. That's one reason why it's wrong. Also, sometimes our real needs are spiritual rather than natural. Instead of needing a new, and you fill in the blank, we need to learn contentment. Philippians 4:19 says, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Matthew 6:7-8, But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. James 4:3, Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Romans 8:26, Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God the Provider is the title of a poem. Who shall tell our untold need, deeply felt though scarcely known? Who the hungering soul can feed, guard and guide but God alone? Blessed promise, while we see, earthly friends must powerless be, earthly fountains quickly dry, God shall all your needs supply. He has said it, so we know, nothing less can we receive. Oh, that thankful love may glow while we restfully believe. Ask not how, but trust him still. Ask not when, but wait his will. Simply on his word rely. God shall all your needs supply. Through the whole of life's long way, outward, inward need we trace. Need arising day by day, patience, wisdom, strength, and grace. Needing Jesus most of all, full of need on him we call. Then how gracious his reply, God shall all your needs supply. Great our need, but greater far, is our Father's loving power. He upholds each mighty star. He unfolds each tiny flower. He who numbers every hair, earnest of his faithful care, gave his son for us to die. God shall all your needs supply. Yet we often vainly plead for a fancied good denied. What we deemed a pressing need still remains unsupplied. Yet from dangers all concealed, thus our wisest friend does shield. No good thing will he deny. God shall all your needs supply. Can we count redemption's treasure? Scan the glory of God's love. Such shall be the boundless measure of his blessing from above. All we ask or think and more, he will give in bounteous store. He can fill and satisfy. God shall all your needs supply. One, the channel deep and broad from the fountain of the throne, Christ the Savior, Son of God, blessings flow through him alone. He, the faithful and the true, brings us mercies ever new. Till we reach his home on high, God shall all your needs supply. Another reason to give God your why is God understands us. Questions. Is God 100% trustworthy? Do you trust him to be fair and understanding? Job 37:16 says that God is perfect in knowledge. You get that? God is what? God is perfect in knowledge. Perfect, complete, whole, without blemish in knowledge. Listen to some of the things that God knows. God knows the very number of hairs on our heads. You want to try to guess that? You want to count that? What does that do to you when you think about that? To me, whenever I think about that, it's like he knows everything. If he knows and everything about every situation that he allows me to go through. That's in Matthew 10:30. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, God knows each of us and our future. He knows our hearts, 1 Kings 8:39. He knows our downsittings, our uprisings, our thoughts, all our ways, and all of our words. You can find that in Psalms 139:2-4. He knows our frame, Psalms 103:14. He knows all things, 1 John 3:20. I was going to read Hebrews 4:13-16, but our brother already read that this morning. But it says, which phrase in that passage says that God knows everything? It says, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him of whom we have to do. It says, which phrase says that Jesus understands our problems and temptations? It says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Excuse me. And what are we to do when we feel no one understands us or if we are tempted? We to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find help in time of need. A poem I like to read is God Understands. God understands your sorrow. He sees the falling tear and whispers, I am with thee. Then falter not nor fear. He understands your longing. Your deepest grief he shares. Then let him bear your burden. He understands and cares. God understands your heartache. He knows the bitter pain. Oh, trust him in the darkness. You cannot trust in vain. He understands your longing, your deepest grief he shares. Then let him bear your burden. He understands and cares. God understands your weakness. He knows the tempter's power, and he will walk beside you however dark the hour. He understands your longing, your deepest grief he shares. Then let him bear your burden. He understands and cares. Excuse me. The next point I want to look at is a reason why we can give God our whys is because God is a good God. Questions. Is God good? Second question. Is everything God does good? Mark 10, verse 18 says, And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. What does the word good in that verse mean? It means absolutely and totally uncorrupt in motives, thoughts, or actions. God is absolutely and totally uncorrupt in motives, thoughts, and actions. The word good also has several different meanings. We tend to think of good as being something that promotes happiness, is pleasant, satisfying to our flesh, has great taste, or upholds moral values. That is why some people do not think that everything God does is good, because they have a wrong sense of the word good as it pertains to God. Psalms 92:15 says, To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The word upright means exact conformity to truth or to the rules prescribed for moral conduct, either by divine or human law. The Lord is upright. He follows the moral conduct that was prescribed by himself. Unrighteousness means unjust, a violation of the divine law, or of the plain principles of justice and equality, or wickedness. There is none of that in God. No unrighteousness. I wanted to think a little bit about the life of Joseph. Pondering the whole life story of Joseph, do you think that God was good to him all the time? What did Joseph understand about God being good? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verses 14 to 21. We know the life of Joseph and how many dark things he went through, how many difficult times he went through. I'm sure he had many times that he asked God why. Listen to these words. Genesis chapter 50, verse 14 to 21. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went with him, to bury his father after that he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren, and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Listen to this next verse. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Is God a good God? Even at the end of all the difficult things that Joseph went through, he said, but God meant it for good. So if God is a good God, why does he allow bad things to happen to good people? The following are three statements that came from the book I talked about, Why God, Why? That say why bad things happen to good and or innocent people. Number one, freedom of choice is one reason evil things happen. Number two, God has put in place natural laws that govern our universe. And number three, evil people will do evil things. There are some things that happen that are a direct result of the fall. For example, sickness and death. God is a good God. There's no evil in God. The next thing I want to look at is God is fair. Or is God fair? Fair. What does this word fair mean as I'm using it today? It means impartial and just, without favoritism or discrimination. Is God still God, even if things happen that does not seem to be fair? Now I have another question for you. Was it fair for God to ask his son to come to the earth to die on the cross for your sin? Romans 2:11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. 2 Chronicles 19:6-7 says, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respects of persons, nor taking of gifts. Romans 9:15-21. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing firm say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Are the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? These verses show that God is the one who is responsible to order each and everyone's lives in the whole world. He decides what is quote-unquote fair. He allows us to choose his ways and follow his commands. He allows the consequences that he has ordained to happen if we, or mankind, choose not to follow him. We have no right to question his decisions or actions. Do you deserve any good thing? Is it fair that God has blessed you with health, food, clothing, clean water, shelter, that he has, while there are many others who have a lot less than us? Is God fair? Is that fair? Fairness is a matter of perspective, and that the only way to understand the ways of God is to get to know him in a deeper way. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing scale, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. God is trustworthy is the next point. Is there anything or anyone that is more trustworthy than God? Can God be your God if you don't trust him all the way? Is it right to think that just because we do not get what we think is best that we cannot trust God? I can trust God because he loves me. I can trust God because he is great. I can trust God because he is God. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you think that God cares about you and understands all about you? Listen to this in Job 13:15. It says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Was life going good for Job when he wrote these words? Was that a good response to his circumstances? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What happens when you trust God? You are not consumed. Lamentations 3:22-23. We will have perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3-4. He will direct our paths, Proverbs 3:5-6. He will save us from reproach. He will send forth his mercy and his truth, Psalms 57:3-4. He will help us, Psalms 28:7. He will be a refuge for us, Psalms 62:8. See that my time is quickly coming to an end. I was going to go on and talk a little bit about some distorted views of God, but I think I won't do that today. I want to close with recapping some of the key questions and thoughts from this message. Your view of God directly affects your relationship with him. If we understand who he is, then we learn to trust him and his ways and dealing trust him and his ways and dealings in our life as being best for us. Job realized that God is so great that it is safe to trust him. He did not need answers, he just needed God. It is never right for us to question God in the sense of, did he have the right to do that to me? Jesus was willing to accept God's evaluation of the situation. What about you? God knows everything about us. The problem is not that God doesn't understand us. It is that we do not understand him. God cannot be God and do anything evil. He cannot be evil and be God. He does at times do things that do not bring us pleasure or happiness, so we view them as not being good. At times, he does allow evil things to happen. Fairness is a matter of perspective, and that the only way to understand the ways of God is to get to know him in a deeper way. The key to trusting God is to realize who he is. Because God is the one who always has and always will have the highest place in authority and power. For he knows everything, is everywhere, and unchanging. You can safely yield your wise to him. May God bless you.